Welcome to the But Here We Go podcast, coming at you from But Here We Go Studios in lovely Dallas, Texas. I've got a first of the year. Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. Or who are you asking?
I'm asking our viewers who can't answer.
We're going to pause, stop the podcast, and wait till everyone answers, and then we'll re-record it and repost the rest of the podcast.
No, we're not. We're not doing that.
What happened, Joe? Tell us.
The first sunburn of the year for me.
Wah, wah.
A little bit for Jake.
Yeah, Jake.
Not so much for you.
Which, I will say this. I've been actually kind of impressed. He really has never gotten sunburned. And he's in his like almost 5 years of life. This is probably the worst sunburn he's had. And it's like a little, you know, sun-kissed of the arms.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because he's young and his body rejuvenates faster, or if it has something to do with him getting slightly different genes. Maybe he got more of the genes that help you not burn.
No, I think it's because we've done a really good job. One, he's worn a hat since he was like 6 months old, which I feel like most kids will rip it off. But for some reason, I think because we like started young enough, he loves having hats on.
And because I wear a hat.
And you wear a hat and he wants to be like you.
Yeah.
And we're really good about sunscreen and long sleeves.
Yeah.
But because he's an outdoor kid. It's not like for lack of outdoors.
He's an outdoor kid in an indoor world.
He's an outdoor kid. I asked him the other day. I was like, Jake, are you an inside kid or an outside kid? And he was like, outside kid. I was like,
Okay. Which is funny because yesterday he said, let's go home and play video games.
Which he never says that.
Which I don't even remember we were doing.
That's actually a really good segue.
But why didn't we just like go do something outside?
Right. I was planning on talking about this later on, but since you brought it up, we had a listener question. Our listeners are curious of how you and I are approaching, as like from a parenting standpoint, video games and Jake. Do you want it?
Yeah, it's a serious question, because I think that.
And sorry, part B is how we feel about esports. So.
Yeah, so it is a serious question, because right now there is the rise of esports. It's being more legitimatized. That's not a word.
It's becoming more popular.
More popular, and video games in general have always had this weird push and pull of are they bad for children? Or are they good for children? Do they help them with things?
Like hand-eye coordination called? Yeah.
So there's always been that. And especially now, because Jake has a tablet and most mornings he will be on it. That was kind of how we got him to potty train, was we would put him on the training potty and we would put a tablet in front of him. So that way he would sit there until he would go.
Mm-hmm.
And that we felt like was the best way and most obvious way to do it in a constructive way that wouldn't. And
we didn't want to give him food as a prize.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't want to be like, hey, like, let's teach you to think food is a prize.
And something that wouldn't end up in a meltdown or just, like, trying to not do negative reinforcement.
Right.
So, and one of the goals there was not to have him watching things, but ideally to be doing a game or something that was constructive. And I think it was kind of too young for him in order to like really play those games.
Yeah. He's just now at the age where he can actually do the kid games on his own.
Yeah. So all that to say, what do I think of raising Jake playing video games? I think that there is a certain level of video games that are okay. And I think that it is definitely fun to play video games, and there's a lot of new aspects which we'll talk about in esports. But all that to say, I do still think you can do the same learning about failure and about building things and about the strategy and problem solving. you can do all of that outside as well. Right. And I would much rather have him doing that outside. But I think what's most important is to make sure that he is learning those skills and being able to apply those to real life situations.
Did you grow up with video games? Like, then give the audience and me, because I know a little bit, like, what is your childhood experience with video games?
My childhood experience with video games is very minimal. So we had a Nintendo, like an original, an original Nintendo growing up. And then the next thing we got, we did get a Super Nintendo and a Sega. But then from there, we went directly to an N64. And then from the N64, there was a period in college where my roommate had one of the Xboxes, and I played Fallout 4. So for any of our listeners who play video games, they'll know Fallout 4.
This was in college?
This was in college. Okay. This was the Fallout before Fallout.
I've already learned New so much Vegas. About you.
And I really enjoyed Fallout. Fallout is... it is a first-person shooter, but you're, like, building up your character. I don't know what kind of game that's called.
It's like an probably RPG? Just...
it's not an RPG. So my favorite game in... for Super Nintendo was Super Mario RPG.
What is that?
That was the name of the call. The book. The,
none of the above.
The name of the game. It was like Super Mario RPG, Tale of the Seven Stars or something. And you had to like go around this world. And it was you're just walking around, and then you're doing your game.
Remind me, RPG, because I thought it was like role-playing game?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that, I guess, what makes a game an RPG?
So really, RPGs, like Final Fantasy, is a classic RPG, classic RPG franchise, or storyline, whereas something like
make a character,
you get characters, you build a team, and then that team goes, and as you're walking through this world, you are fighting other teams. Not like this is all a storyline in a game. So it's kind of like the original Mario where you're trying to just get to the end.
Right.
You're not playing against other people.
Right.
And these are like almost like you are going and you're fighting these other people in this storyline. But when you start a battle, it's you and like your three people that you've chosen as your battle team, like three of your characters fighting against their characters.
Got it.
And then you're fighting against the computer. And so you're like walking through this world, and every once in a while you have this battle, which is like it goes off into a different battle.
Got it.
Versus like a first person shooter where you're running around shooting people and they either die or they don't.
Okay. Did you have any, like, did your parents have any restrictions on your video game usage, or it was just like you did whatever you want?
I'm pretty sure we could do whatever we wanted.
Did you spend a lot of time on video games growing up, or was it like...
So I didn't spend that much time. I think there would be phases. There...
And truthfully, video games weren't that big of a deal, I feel like, back then.
No, they were.
They were. Well,
they
okay.
were. But here's how big they were, if you want to put it in context. The biggest thing... while I was in high school was having LAN parties.
Okay. Okay.
So
yes.
It was still to the point where you would have to wire your
right.
Xboxes together. And the big thing then was Halo.
Yes.
So they would be having Halo tournaments and it would be all connected with wires.
Right. Which is so funny now, like knowing what video games has become, where it's just, you know, on your TV and you can play with, you know, anyone from across the world. When back in the day of high school, you had to physically put everything together. That's funny.
Yeah. So I don't think there was ever a restriction. I think there was really it. And the one thing that I spent a lot of time on, I would usually like get into a game, play it until I beat it, and then I would move on. And I think that that was mostly because prior to, really, I guess prior to high school, it was all still like you would go buy a physical game, you would play it on your, on, in your console, and you'd only have that storyline. For a few games, there would be multiplayer, but multiplayer wasn't super popular because you'd have at most four people who could play.
Right.
So we didn't do that very often.
My earliest memory of video games was I was in a homeschooled sewing class, and I was probably like maybe 8 or 9 years old, and we were not allowed to have video games at our house. But the son of our sewing class teacher had a Nintendo 64. And so my earliest memories of video games is not even playing it, but just being in the room watching him and the other guys, the other boys, the other 8-year-old boys playing Super Smash Brothers and Mario Kart. And then I would slowly be able to play those games once we got in with the guys, once we became part of the bros after quilting class was over. But we were never allowed to have it until I think maybe my little brother got into like upper elementary school. So at some point we got a GameCube. So played all the N64 games over at friends' houses, and then we got a GameCube and we played James Bond games. But other than that, I was really into computer games like Sims, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Nancy Drew, which I feel like, because I feel like people like, the video game world is pretty big, but like the PC game world is equally, maybe not in like an esports kind of way big, but the Sims, you know, they're still making Sims expansion games.
Wow.
And there's like people like, I guess, is it Twitch? Is that online? Yeah. Like you can play, you just watch people play video games.
Yeah.
People play Sims on that stuff all the time. But I remember for my little brother, it was the problem that we had with my little brother and his, like, you know, quote unquote addiction to video games, which I feel like any boy growing up in the early 2000s had some sort of addiction. I think it was Halo, maybe. He would refuse to like go to the bathroom, and he would like be so like into the game that like he, so sorry, Luke, but he would wet himself because he just was so into it, would not get up and go to the bathroom. But other than that, like, I don't think anyone ever had, I don't even think he still plays games. Like, there was never, like, anyone, because I know, because, like, you led a small group of young boys through church for a while, and I feel like all they did was play video games.
Yeah, they played a lot of video games.
Right, but I feel like that, like, other than, like, LAN parties, I don't think it was at the level that it is now with how much, like, I just think of Fortnite, and what is the, it's, they make all the Lego sets about it. What it, like, Jake has like one Lego set of it, and we don't even know. It's not
Minecraft.
Minecraft. I feel like between those two games, it has like taken young boys by storm, and it's like influencing fashion and culture in a way that I don't remember video games affecting that. I don't know. It's interesting. But anyway, you and I, in terms of parenting, because this conversation can easily get off track. We have an N64 and a GameCube, which is like hand-me-downs and or we found it in the trash, that Jake has played before. So when you mentioned earlier that he wanted to come inside and play video games, what he meant by that is he wanted to come inside, hold a controller while he watched you and I play Super Smash Brothers, because he doesn't quite understand how to play it. And really the other, and then we have like a Lego Star Wars game. Lego Star Wars game. That's the, to the extent between that and like the random PBS Kids games he plays on his tablet, that is all the video game access he has currently. I don't ever want him to get a video game console. And we haven't really talked about this. Maybe we have a little bit. I don't think he needs anything more than that. Like, if he wants to play video games, he can go to a friend's house. That's fine. I just don't want it to get to the point where we don't interact with him anymore because he's in his room playing video games, which side note, we also have a rule where there are no TVs allowed in bedrooms in our house. There's only zero. We only want one TV, and that TV is going to be in a living room that can, you know, that is used by the family. We never want people just go be by themselves and watch TV, because that's not helpful.
And just in case anybody thinks we're depriving anybody in our family, don't worry, we're adding up all the inches and we're getting the biggest TV biggest possible. Biggest
TV possible.
So if we had a 20-inch TV in each room of the house, instead we just have one 200-inch TV.
Fair is fair. But anyway, yeah, I think my concern when it comes to video games with Jake is not... I just think, like, one, they're just highly addictive. And I like video games. I think they're fun. I think they're, like, the quality of video games and the storytelling of video games is really great. I have nothing, and I'm not, like, concerned about the violence of it. Like, I'm not, you know, like, I feel like, was it, like, the 90s where everyone was like, the video games are why Columbine happened or whatever. That's not the concern. I think the concern for me is that it is such a form of escapism, number one, that's not anything remotely close to real life that is a problem. And then two, obviously, if you're interacting with people on the internet, that's always a safety concern.
Always sketch.
Right.
Everybody on the internet is sketchy.
Everyone. Yeah, so I wouldn't mind him playing it, like if he wanted to go over to friends' houses and play it, but I don't think we should have a console in our house. Other than like the old school games that aren't connected to the internet and like are chill.
Yeah, and I would agree, because I think it, from a different standpoint, it is as much fun as it can be, it truly is a waste of time.
Right.
And I think
you're accomplishing nothing.
That's where I start to get to the point of like, what is the point? Because you can sit there and you can build this digital world and it can be really cool and really awesome and really fun. But you could also be building the same real world and be doing real world stuff that also gets to some of those points. And you can be learning real life skills. Like, take something like Minecraft, for example. You can go through there and you can build a whole little city.
Right.
Or you could go out to your backyard and build a real live chicken coop.
Right.
And you could put real life chickens in there
and learning skills.
Yeah. Well, so,
and that's why so let me back up. So when I was editing that other podcast, one of the guys that they had on, like, being interviewed on it, he was talking about video games, and there's been like a ton of research on video games. But one of the things he talked about was how what they're finding now with video games in like young men or like boys in general is that, they are choosing to be involved like in the world of a video game as opposed to being involved with the real world in terms of relationships. And so like relationships are hard, whether you're talking about like a platonic friendship or a marriage or like a partnership of some kind. They're hard and they're messy and they're slow, and like the payoff can be a long time coming. But for video games, like, you get this like illusions of grandeur. You can be this champion, this warrior, this, you know, whatever, and achieve these. It gives you a dopamine hit that you don't necessarily get in real life in normal activities. And so, like, it's so much easier to just go and get your dopamine hit and not have to talk to any human person and not have to actually work through a real conflict or a real relationship and put in the work. You just go get your dopamine hit by winning some battle in a video game. And there's like studies to back that up. And so, like, that's why I think, like, hey, like, I don't mind if he goes and plays video games, like, because I know if you're listening, you're like, but Allie, like, you're playing with other people online. Playing with somebody online is different than playing with somebody in the same room. And, like, I know it's not, it's still, like, the dopamine hit, but I would rather him be physically sitting with, like, three or four buddies in the same room playing a video game together than them not, like, them miles and miles and miles away from their house, if he's going to play video games at all. But to your point, it really isn't. It's fake. It's not only is it a dopamine hit, but it's a fake dopamine hit. It's not like doing anything. But then that kind of goes into esports, kind of throws a wrench into all of that.
But I will, before we go to esports, the other thing that I want to point out that I think is important to think about and realize and something we'll have to wrestle with as we,
right,
as Jake grows, is that for me growing up, because I never had the consoles that people were playing on, I never had whatever Halo was on. I didn't have a GameCube. So most of the time I was just horrendous at these video games. And I think it was because I never played. It was not necessarily because I don't have the ability to play. And just a simple fact that typically teenagers, especially teenage boys, are still trying to figure themselves out. So they are very brutal, whether it is to each other or to each other, really. And they're trying to figure out the whole
pecking
where they
order.
Are, the pecking order. They're all like trying to build up something. And so most of the time, like whenever there would be games that were being played, if I did play, I was usually the first one out or one of the last ones. So I think that is very likely also for Jake that he will be last if he's going over to a friend's house occasionally to play video games, unless it is something that is not as skill oriented, like Super Smash. I feel like a lot of that is just smashing buttons. Or like Mario Party. I remember there were times when I would win Mario Party, which is, it's a party and it's a board game on a video game console. And then I do have to say I was very good at Mario Kart. There were times when I would lose, but I would win Mario Kart pretty frequently.
I feel like we're unpacking a lot of really deep seated pains here.
No, we're not. I'm just saying, like, that is another aspect.
So you're saying that we're destined to have a kid who's going to get picked on because he's bad at video games? Or he's not, are you fearful he's not going to fit in? Or you're just saying, hey, this is a fact to be aware of?
That is a fact to be aware of.
Got it.
But then the other thing that I also wanted to say before we jump to esports, when it comes to the whole idea of video game consoles, getting the games, nowadays they always have, it seems like everything is now subscription based.
Right.
So you don't even buy a game, you buy a season for the game, and then they update it and you buy a new season the next year. All of that is a lot of money. And if Jake wants to be doing other things, having other hobbies, ultimately
we will not be able
those
to
hobbies
it.
Are bankrolled by the parents. Like, we all know this. So I can't even afford a hobby. You can't afford a hobby. How are we going to afford a hobby for Jake, let alone two or three or four hobbies?
Right.
Like, he's going to need to specialize real early in his life.
Right. And, or go free right off someone else's hobbies.
Either that, or he's just going to have to find the equipment in the trash.
Can you imagine if we go dumpster diving, we find, like, I was going to say an Xbox 360, but is that still relevant?
Probably not.
What do people play nowadays?
I don't know, Xbox like
4000,
Super 5 or something.
I don't even know. Oh my gosh. Next, it's going to be like virtual reality stuff, which I don't. Anyway, esports. Are we ready to move on to esports?
Yeah, we can move on to esports.
Okay, so here's the thing about esports. So remember my first memory of video games is me watching people play Super Smash Brothers. For some reason, I very much enjoy watching people play video games. Maybe it's like dopamine by proxy. I don't know. I enjoy watching it. And so we've watched a couple documentaries on esports. I find it fascinating. I had never heard of the video games that they were competing in, but it was just a fascinating concept to me. And I have to agree. I do think that it's a sport, and I can understand like the skill set that it takes to do that stuff. If you like sat here and you asked me like, hey, like how would you feel if Jake was like going to be an
e-sport
athlete or champion? I don't know what the verbiage is.
An elite?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that because I'm not concerned that like video games are going to ruin him. I just think like everything in moderation. And so if we, find out that he's really good at... I don't know. That's the thing is, it's funny. I'm practical to a fault. Because if we found out that he was, like, really good at, like, the piano, for example, I don't know if I would go all in and be like, you're going to be a piano champion. Mainly because I can't pay the bills and I feel terrible saying that. But he needs at least a backup plan. Because, like, how many, like, concert pianists are there? Like, I don't... I feel like if you're not, like, a famous pianist, you're a piano teacher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, which is fine. And I actually know people who've done that.
And they make a lot of money.
Right. But I don't think, I don't know. Like, it would have to be, like, he would have to, the Lord would have to put it upon my heart and be like, I have chosen your son to be really, really good at this for me to be like, let's go all in on video games. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But I respect esports people. And I think, like, aren't they building, like, a massive esports arena in Arlington or something? Or they did build it?
They have an esports arena in Arlington.
Right. It's a big thing.
So here's my take on esports. This is my interpretation. Like, why you're saying you like it, but why? One, it's sports. I think when you think about sports, like, everybody in some way ends up liking watching somebody else do something really good.
Right.
And I think, I don't know the history or I forget the correct term, but the history of the word sport. But to me, the idea of sport and making sports or doing sports is the idea of, like, giving out entertainment for somebody else, or like making entertainment.
Mm.
And so to me, esports is another line of entertainment. And I think it's also an interesting one for more people, simply because when you think about sports, one, they're very expensive to go and see and experience. And I've always enjoyed going to a live sporting event more than watching it on TV. But you also have to realize, like, these are real people. You have to get, like, invested in your team. And you're like, okay, my team is going to, like, do good this year.
Right. You're going to buy all the gear, all the t-shirts.
You have to, like, invest in those people. You have to know them. You see there's, like, a humanity behind it. And then you have to, like, follow them. Whereas for esports, I feel like there is a little bit more of a disconnect, because there are real people playing the game, but ultimately it is still a video game.
Right.
So you can almost get a sense of disconnection of saying this is still a fictional world and they're playing a game. So there is a level of this is just entertainment.
Hmm.
Whereas, like, sports, it's real people doing a real thing, and ultimately that is their life. Like, if they aren't, I don't know where I'm going with
right.
this. But
to push back a little bit, because I think of, like, what we were seeing in those documentaries, it's like these like esports athletes, they're practicing like 10 hours a day. And, like, all they do is this, like, whatever video game they decided to focus on their video game. They live in a house with the rest of their team. All they do is that. They, in the esports world, they are known as an esports athlete. Like, they have their name. People know who they are. So, to me, I don't see much of a difference between that and, like, a famous football player, truthfully, other than, you know, again, like, it's a little bit different. Football, I feel like, is hard because in America, football is a god, in a sense. Like, it's like a whole thing. But if you compare, like, esports to, like, I don't know, competitive cheerleading, like, they, like, there are followings for that kind of thing. Like, there are fandoms for everything. So I see it as similar. I think with video games, I think a lot of people don't like watching video games, like, unless it's, again, a physical thing, to your point, like a football player or a football game, and whether you're watching it on TV or not, they would much rather watch that than a video game, which to me, I don't understand that. It's the same thing to me in my mind.
So I think, I think there's two different things that I want to comment there. Video games, like, they do have the esports arenas where you can go watch the people who are playing the game.
Right.
But in reality, like, the thing that is happening is a video. It's a video game. So it is all
fake.
I think to your experience, when you first started watching video games, you're watching the TV. So it's almost like that is known to people, watching a screen and watching things unfold. And I think what I was trying to say, I think this is a better way of putting it, that for people, there is a, for the audience, there is a, you can have less buy-in if you want, because you can go and watch people play the video game and you know that it's a video game that's happening versus a sporting event where, like, if you want to go and like really get all in on that, you have to like buy into
the fandom,
the whole fandom. And there's definitely fandom that you can have with esports, but I think anybody could go, and even if they are somewhat aware of either the game, or for us, like watching the documentary mm-hmm. was cool, because it's like, oh, there's this whole world behind video games, and it's still a video game. It's like we're watching a story unfold that we're kind of used to, since we're all sitting there watching TV and are on our phones and are like in this digital world as it is. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I was trying to say, is that it's, I could see esports as being a very casual thing that people can go and watch and enjoy, and then
they don't have to get in like a bar fight.
They don't have to get into a fandom. They don't have to go stabbing people. They don't have to become a soccer hooligan.
Soccer hooligan.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll check back in to see if Jake wants to become an esports champion in 15 years. Yeah,
but if he wants to, I think that would be, I wonder.
What would be your concerns if he like woke up as a 15-year-old and was like, I want to play professional esports, whatever game is popular at, in whatever year it's going to be?
I don't think I would have any major concerns. I would point out I think I would have a serious conversation, be like, hey, now you know 2% of people make it professional, and kind of like whatever right. you do, like even if he wants to be a star football player, point out like, hey, you're probably not going to play professional football. Like, are you okay with that? And I realize he's...
Are we bad parents? Because we both are like, okay, look, you need to have a realistic dream.
I think it's totally fine. And I don't think I don't intend on crushing his dreams. Like, if he wants to try, like, more power to him. But from a financial standpoint, like, I'm wondering, not that this would, like, whatever we can provide, I think we would support and provide.
Right.
But I'm thinking from a financial standpoint, is it going to be cheaper for him to try and become an esports athlete, or is it going to be cheaper for him to like try to do something that's a physical sport?
This is the thing about esports, though. Based on what we saw in those documentaries, you age out of competitive esports at like 23.
Yeah, pretty early.
Like very young. And so like that, like what do you do after even if you made like $1 million, like you need to have another career. And like, I don't think there's that, like the market for like video game trainers is much smaller than like high school football teachers.
Coaches. But to your point, if you are 23, you've played professionally, because obviously he needs to graduate.
Right.
So he's going to have maybe a 5-year career. Say he's at the top of the list. So he's making 200K a year. Like, that's all well and good. Now say he's got $1 million at 23. Now he can go to college or go do a trade or
join the military
or get on Twitch and start twitching. Like, there's so many things you could do at that point. So I wouldn't be as concerned about a second career, because that's really what it would be, is a second career.
Right.
which he could start by going and
you're just concerned. You just want him to graduate high school. That's like your...
I mean, at that point, I think, yeah, I think he has to graduate high school. Right. He's not going to be a high school dropout.
Right. For sake of time, because we've talked about this before. This is an episode.
I think it's important.
I will say, to
talk about esports.
It is. And thank you, listener, for the question. I will say I'm not too concerned that this is ever going to become an issue because I feel like gaming is not our vibe.
True. But
we're very about like being outside and with other human beings.
But I do think that it's important to talk about this in general, not necessarily being an esports athlete, because I think most, especially with guys, most of us at one point wanted to be a professional athlete.
Mm.
And while we were growing up, I would say professional
athlete. You wanted to be a professional athlete?
Let me finish. I would say when we were growing up, the influencers of our day were professional athletes and celebrities. Whereas now, anybody can be an influencer.
Right.
So it's very possible that Jake sees not necessarily esports as his way to fame and influencing, but he sees something and he says, that's what I'm going to invest my time and invest my effort in.
Right.
And I'm going to become an influencer.
Right.
And I think that that is where the value of all this conversation is, because even with that, like, yeah, anybody can become an influencer, but how many of us are really influencers? Like, we've got a podcast. So technically, yeah, we're influencing.
Hardly.
We're influencing 10 people who listen.
Right.
And even then, I don't even know if we're influencing.
Right. They could just listen for 5 minutes and turn it off. They just
listen and laugh at us.
Right.
This is their comedic joy for the week. So I think there is it's not the esports about this conversation. It is, what is Jake chasing?
What is influencing him?
What is influencing him, and how does he want to be influencing the world?
Right. And that's conversations that you and I can start having. Because right currently, if you ask him, he wants to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Which I'm not great. I'm not mad about it.
I'm totally down for that.
It's very much in our wheelhouse.
I will go on his expeditions.
Right. Totally. But yeah, I guess like helping a kid formulate those thoughts, you know, to think about. Just as like, hey, what do I want to be? What does that actually entail? My choices affect other people. My choices affect my future. These are very hard topics for a kid to truly understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is not necessarily something that he is cognizant of yet, but probably by age 10, I would guess. I don't remember when I first said, oh, I want to be a professional athlete, or, oh, I want to be a movie star. But I'm sure by age 10, like, he's already telling us what he wants to do for his life. And at some point that is going to transition into, right now he wants to be Indiana Jones because that's the most recent movies that he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
But is it in 5 years when he starts to realize Indiana Jones is an actor and now he wants to be an actor because he gets to...
Fake all the adventures.
Fake all of the adventures and like make people want to be him.
Acting is just real life RPG.
I would say it might be more of a first person shooter. Unless it is Scott Pilgrim takes on the world or whatever it is.
Do you have memories growing up of wanting to be famous? This is going back to my question of, did you want to be a famous athlete?
I don't remember. I have memories of...
I can't wait to hear it.
Ridiculous, but I have memories of like being self-sufficient or like being set for life, like being ridiculously wealthy. And
you have memories of wanting that Or you
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, you
have,
were?
I have
Wow.
No, I have memories of that was my dream in the future.
Hmm.
That hasn't really changed much. I mean, maybe not like the ridiculously wealthy part, but the idea of being able to survive in a zombie apocalypse, like that has definitely shaped.
Right. Oh, that's the core part of your
that's
being.
That's a core tenet of Joe Battier.
It's a prepper.
I wouldn't say I'm a prepper.
No, thank God.
But.
We wouldn't be here if you were.
You're right. We'd be off grid. People wouldn't know who we are. We would have a podcast, but we wouldn't use our real names.
It would be on like, what is those like old-timey radios? We'd have a big antenna.
And what we would be doing is we'd be telling people how they need to be preparing.
Right.
Not talking about, you know,
video games.
Whatever's going on in the world.
So ever since I was little, I wanted to be an actress. Like since like probably 5 years old, I wanted to be an actress. And, I was more lucky than most where I actually was somewhat attempted it in the sense of because we had agents growing up. Like I auditioned for, you know, I never auditioned for a movie now that I think about it, but I was in commercials and did the modeling, whatever. And then I had friends who went off to California on the summer to do pilot season and were in some Nickelodeon and Disney shows. And I remember like at a certain point when I was like a 12 or 13 years old, making a conscious decision to like no longer pursue that because I did not want to be famous. And I truthfully, like I bring this up because I feel like it's such like a formative memory of mine, but I don't know what influenced it because I know internally I have always had this like tension of like, I don't love being the center of attention, but I love people liking me in the sense, probably because I'm a people pleaser, but I like people looking up to me and I like people wanting to hear my opinion on things. But I know that about myself. And so I feel like I often go out of my way to make sure I don't have the opportunity to have a platform, which is funny that I'm saying that on a podcast of a platform. But truthfully, like I even feel weird having a podcast sometimes because and I don't often advertise that we have a podcast because I don't want it's an unhealthy thing for me to know that 10 people are listening. It's too much power. I don't think I can be trusted with that much power. Like I don't think I could handle celebrity life.
Yeah. To your point, we do need to advertise more.
No, it would be bad for my soul and for my ego. It would be terrible.
We need to get those listeners up. We need to get more advertising, bringing in those ad dollars.
No, I think the Lord is keeping it at 10 people for a reason because he knows that I would become like a super villain. It would be bad.
You'd become a super villain.
It would be bad.
Wow.
I really just want people to, because I think I'm right about everything. And I think if, you know, the world would be so much better if they all agree with me. And so the Lord has very clearly been like, we're not giving you the mic. That's for sure.
Let's
not give Allie any more power than she already has.
That's a really good point. Well, I think that along those lines, I don't remember. I think I just always had those ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever wanted to be. I don't have a distinct memory of wanting to be famous. Although now I definitely do wrestle with.
Your geo-famous?
Not. Yeah, my geo-fame.
Your influencer status on LinkedIn.
So I don't necessarily care about the fame and the notoriety. There are a few things that I get frustrated with the fact that I've been doing things for longer than others. And then all of a sudden they come out of nowhere and they are supposedly the person or like the source of information when I'm like, well, they're actually citing my work that I
are
did
they
five
really?
Years ago. Not all the time, but there have been times where that has happened.
What?
But that's neither here nor there. I think. And today, actually, during the sermon, so we're recording this on Sunday. We just finished at church like 12 hours ago or something.
just finished
12 hours ago. Have done a lot since then. But I think that there were specific things. Like, we were talking about it, and I think we were talking about the idea of somebody who has a healthy work-life balance versus somebody who's a workaholic, and how that in itself could lead to who gets a promotion.
Right.
And how we as Christians should look at that depending on where we are in that whole spectrum. So I'm not going to get into that. What I'm going to get into is that I was thinking about that and thinking about, like, there are times when I work more than I should. And I was wondering, like, is that because I want to be rich and famous, or is that because I am chasing, like, the hierarchy and getting to the top of the business world, because that would make me feel like I chase this or reach this quote unquote fame or success. And what I always come back to is that one of the things that I care most about is bringing this renewable energy.
Right.
So, like, I end up at times working more than I should, and it's because I want to save the world. Like, I say that and it sounds cheesy, but it's true. I want everybody to have this good, clean, reliable energy. And through that, I think the reason that, and this may be wrong, it's definitely something I wrestle with, but I think that making my work matter in that way gives more people the opportunity to know Christ. Because if we're sitting here arguing back and forth about climate change, or if we're sitting here like for some island nations, if they are worried about their coastlines and their cities because of rising seas, they don't have time to think about Jesus. And that doesn't, and I'm probably never going to go to half of those places.
Right.
So what I can do to help them learn about Jesus, I can give to random missionaries, or hopefully missionaries that are going to those places, and I can also care about my work and get more renewable energy on the grid.
Right.
And give them more time.
Well, and I also think, like, not just, like, more time, because, like, we don't know when the world's going to end, but I think that there's something really powerful about someone in your position who says, hey, like, I am a follower of Jesus, and because of that, I love people, and because I love creation, love everything God created, and because of that, like, I want to make sure that people who I will never, ever meet have a good life with the resources that they need to thrive. And not just survive. Like, I think that in itself is a form of evangelism that I think is often overlooked. Of like, hey, like, we can preach with our words and also our actions, and the way that we treat other people in more, you know, marginalized communities, and how we treat our planet are a reflection of what we care about and where our, like, what our worldview is. And I think that is a good thing.
Yep. I have nothing else to add.
How long have we been talking?
We've been talking for 48 minutes.
Okay, I literally had 5 articles to go through with you. I don't think we have time for any of them.
Did you hear that, dear guests? We have 5 things to talk about, but guess what? We're just going to have to skip them.
We're going to have to wait till next time.
We've been talking about real life.
Boom.
Life, liberty.
Truthfully, I will say this.
The pursuit of happiness.
I enjoy our podcast more when we talk about real life than we do articles. It's just like, sometimes you've already real lifed it up that day. You know, you ain't got nothing else to talk about.
It's almost like we live together and we talk about things.
Also, we didn't know people wanted to hear about how we're going to parent in video games.
I want to know. I want to know how many people are struggling with esports right now. If you have a struggle with esports, you can reach out. You can tell us.
Call the hotline.
Yeah, call the Ellie and Joe Battier hotline.
Oh my gosh, please no. That's like,
we're not going to give you our number. If you don't already have it, you should leave a review. And in the review, tell us what you're struggling with and how we can be praying for you.
Also,
I realize I'm playing with my cord now.
Oh,
sorry about that.
I couldn't hear it. Also, we missed on Saturday, y'all, and this is probably going to get posted tomorrow, but it was J.R.R. Tolkien Day, and I missed it. Happy J.R.R. Tolkien Day, everyone.
Yep. Happy everyone.
Okay.
What, just real quick, because we're probably not going to talk about the articles the next time. I just want you to
I can save it.
What the articles are.
I was,
unless they're like things that are timeless, because what ends up happening, our show ends up being almost like a commentary on the it topics week. So I'm just curious.
I have a better idea.
These are actually going to
stay. I have a better idea. I'm going to just read you the articles, and then who y'all can pick.
Then I will say fake news or real.
Rookie, yeah, some of these are fake news.
Let's hear him.
I'm just going to read the headlines. Number one, five planets will align across the night sky near the end of March.
Truth.
My question was, why do we care about all that? Like, why are we so into planets aligning? Okay. Do you remember? Oh, then I was going to ask you about if you remember when everyone was freaking out about the blood moons.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
The reason they care about that is because you get extra power from your crystals when they align. That's when you do your super crystal healing.
Yeah, super crystal healing. Right.
Things.
Right. Yeah, thanks. This is actually what I wanted to talk to you about, is a new ocean could form in Africa as continent continues to split apart. Have you heard about
that? Yeah, totally.
That's not alarming. That's pretty... I mean, that's just tectonics.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to call it an ocean, that's like calling the...
That's going to be a creek at first. How is it going to fill up with water?
Well, as it spreads apart, it just gets lower.
But that's going to take like 100 years, if not more.
Did you say 100?
Yeah.
It's going to take way longer than 100. Way longer than 100 years.
You looked at me like I was such an idiot.
No, that's the same thing as saying... So, Baja... California, so you've got
it's going to break
California,
off.
And then you've got Mexico. So Baja California is actually in Mexico. That I think it's,
how's it in Mexico if it's in California?
I don't know. They call it Baja California,
but it's not little, California.
It's that little tail,
but it's not California.
That little tail.
It's not America.
That little tail is Mexico.
But okay, that's
anyway.
It's going to take me an hour to understand
there
that.
So there's a sea there that is ultimately going to come up all the way up to the Bay Area, San Francisco,
and split it off.
Once you have enough movement on the San Andreas Fault,
got it.
That's going to, I mean, it's not going to be a new ocean,
right?
Because ultimately, that's just getting filled in by the Pacific.
Right, it will be an island.
So if you want to call it a new ocean,
right.
This one, like, really it's just being filled up by the Indian Ocean.
Right. Ready for next one?
Moving on.
I literally just put JoJo needs to explain for the continental drift thing. Okay. 50 years ago, researchers discovered a leak in Earth's oceans. Should we talk about it next time? You seem interested.
A leak in Earth's oceans?
That's all I can tell you. We don't have no time.
What does that even mean?
Wow, you're really interested in that
one. What does that mean, people?
Hilarious.
We'll talk about it next time.
Next one. Man living underwater for 100 days.
I know, I saw that.
Oddly excited about it.
Everybody.
He's in like a submarine type situation, right? He's not wet. I was like, you can't be wet for 100 days. You die.
Yeah, he is like... It's basically the deep sea version of the International Space Station, like something like that.
Right.
I've read like a first few sentences of it. What I love about those, if anybody sees those articles out there, for some reason, like the first one had a cool sciencey picture. The next day I started seeing that article popping up, and all of a sudden it is like this creepy mythic being type looking thing that had this super sheen shawl covering their face coming up out of water. That was the picture that was like associated with that article.
Weird.
So do you have an image of like what I'm talking about there?
Sort of.
So just think of just like some type of, think of like a, like an elven type creature. Got or it. Like somebody like that.
Like a human creature?
Like a human creature.
Okay, you say creature and I was like sea monster.
It's like a human, but kind of like a heroin addict. Like
I'm trying to... It's not important.
But it's like, okay, so think of a... You can cut the heroin addict part.
Okay.
So think of like a human person that is like slithering, and I say slithering because they're like sneaking up out of this super, super
yes.
smooth water. Yes. But they've got like this like silk thing on their head.
Got it.
And they're slipping up out of the water.
Got it.
What does that picture have to do with this article? That
like, I don't know, I've but it it captured your attention.
I've seen that so many times. I'm like, what are people doing? Where did this come from? Why is this the picture that now is associated with this?
So this, we'll probably cut this out because of time. But to that point, like news articles are getting real shiesty with how they're advertising the articles. Because I saw an article. Because Lea Michele is in Funny Girl on Broadway, but she had to take a break because her son was hospitalized. And the headline of the article before you clicked on it said, Lea Michele returns to Funny Girl while son is still in the hospital or something like that. And so I clicked on it. And then but when you click on it and go to the actual article, the headline said, Lea Michele returns to Funny Girl after her son is released from the hospital. And I was like, one, that is... two completely different factual statements. And two, I only clicked on the article because I was wondering why she would go back to Funny Girl if her son was still in the hospital, which it means they got me. And I was so pissed about that because I was like, you literally lied. Because I know that there are tons of people, myself included, who only read like the headline and keep going. And then you have the information in your head. And so then you like, that's literally the definition of fake news. And I was so upset by that.
News.
Anyway.
All right.
Are you ready for the last article?
Last one. Let's hear it.
No AC, no problem. Texas neighborhood uses geothermal energy.
Is it Whisper Valley?
I only put this on here because I wanted you to be excited. And you were not as excited as I thought.
Valley?
It's outside of Austin.
Of course it is.
Is that Whisper Valley? It is Whisper Valley. You don't like them? Did they steal your ideas?
No, I think it's great. I think it's great. I'm happy that they are resurging. Unfortunately, Whisper Valley has been in the works probably since 2014, 2015.
Wow.
You would have a better idea of like for a real estate development, like if that's normal.
That's a long time.
Especially this one. They are very forward thinking. I mean, all of their heating is geothermal heat pumps. All their heating and cooling.
Nice.
So they've got this very forward-thinking, net zero community type atmosphere. But it's taking them forever. And especially now, like all the prices are just going to have to go up. But geothermal, baby, it's the this decade of geothermal.
The hopefully more than a decade because you do need a job for longer than a decade.
Well, this is the geothermal decade.
Oh.
But after the geothermal decade, then it's just like, then it's just a thing.
Then it's just like the normal like, electricity.
Yeah, then everybody does geothermal.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah, so.
Boom, you went through all five of them.
There's a lot of interesting articles. Maybe we'll talk about some. Maybe
or maybe
we won't.
Just ask us more parenting questions, audience.
Yeah, we can turn this into a parenting podcast.
No.
We'll table that. Maybe we will turn it into a parenting podcast. Not maybe not.
I'm not qualified.
I don't think any parents are.
So then there should be no parenting podcast.
There should be no parenting podcast, period. But with that, we do need to... Earlier, we talked about our sponsor, our ad dollars. We do need to point out that we do have another sponsor this week.
Oh my gosh, who?
The sponsor this week is Pathway Homes.
Part Pathway Homes?
No, just Pathway Homes.
Oh.
Pathway Homes. They have a little hummingbird as their... as their brand logo.
Did you get that from one of your conferences?
No, I also got this from Haley.
Oh.
when I was in Houston the last time, Haley gave me a bunch of hats. She said something about she thought I liked hats. I told her we didn't have space for any hats anymore. And she said, oh, well, that's cool. You can donate them. So Pathway Homes, thank
you. You're about to be donated.
Thank you for making your way here. You got a really cool brand logo. It's like this cute little hummingbird. And maybe if I was, you know, maybe if I don't know, would had room for extra hats, maybe I would keep you. But this way somebody else can find their home and this hat can find its path on its way to helping somebody with their homes.
Wow.
It's Pathway Homes. Thanks for your path to this podcast.
Oh, God. Kill it.
And with that, we are going to end the show. Thank you to all of our loyal fans who listen in on all of our random conversations.
Yeah, next week, we can talk about what we're going to name our fans.
Next week, we will come up with a great fandom name and we can start our own fan community.
Support us on Patreon.
And then you can be getting shout outs as our supporters instead of Pathway Homes. With that, I think we're going to end it. So,
bye.
But here we go.